Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, creating lifestyles and livelihoods of sustainable prosperity. Universe Spirit offers strategies for tackling humanity's most urgent global challenge, climate destabilization. Go to universespirit.org to find out how you can make a difference in our quest for a prosperous and sustainable future. It's August 25th, 2015, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you oh so live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California. And here at Lupin, clothing is optional, but guess what? The truth is always naked. And I am yours truly, Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And for a second, I thought he forgot who he was. We welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, some spiritual perspectives, and as many surprises as possible, with lots of music, special guests, and...
What? And what? What's the other and following
and us.
The... And us.
And us.
Sometimes we forget, but I'll tell you right now, you have no idea. But before we get to that, I want to let you know that we are sponsored by Go Raw, and we love Go Raw because it's healthy and good for you, and you can get Go Raw in lots of places like Costco, Safeway, Trader Joe's, and right at the very top of Mount Shasta. It's amazing. They have.
You don't know that that's true. You made that up. We're not going to put him on the marketing team of Go Raw. Gives bad information. But anyway, you can go to goraw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood.
And what we're doing tonight is, well, you have no idea.
That's what we're doing. You have no idea. The other day, a rodent entered our house. Now, you know, everybody's got a little phobia of something, some little creature. So we have this big, strong man who works here at Lupin who's afraid of snakes. And the very thought of being near a snake puts him into paroxysms of terror. And I feel the same way about rodents, little rodents, big rodents, any kind of rodents. I don't mind them so much when they're outside, though I mind them a little bit. But when they get inside, you have no idea. I lose it completely. I am this so-called sophisticated woman who is trying so hard to keep it all together.
And Rochelle, also, besides that sophisticated woman who's trying so hard to keep it all together, Rochelle, the same thing is true for her.
Now, people will believe that there's another person here. It's just me in many disguises.
You have no idea.
No, I have no idea. You have no idea. I have an idea. Ouch. Errol is adjusting my microphone. He just pinched my cheek, and I remembered when I was a little girl, I had an aunt who would pinch your cheeks when she spoke to you, to grab each cheek in one hand and another cheek in the other hand, and she'd just squeeze to make you want to cry. And she'd have this lovely smile on her face, like she's loving you, but she's killing you at the same time. You have no idea how unsettling that was.
It's something about the pudgy innocentness of a little baby. It's just a living, total, innocent embodiment of love's potential. Tiny bit actual, because it's just been here a little while, like our six-month-old granddaughter.
But why would you want to hurt it?
It's not you're trying to hurt it. You want to consume it. There's this feeling like it's so delicious. You want to somehow engage it in your whole being, the way you'd food or when you make love. It's like there's an impulse in us that wants to... You have no idea, do you?
Well, I have an idea about what you're saying, but there's this other part. Like making love, you're aware of your partner. You're aware of what will hurt that person, what won't hurt that person, what will give it pleasure, what won't give it pleasure. You're not making love to yourself, you're making love to somebody. So the people who are so insensitive to this child and what can hurt it and not hurt it, it seems to me when the little face gets all squished up and it does all it can not to cry, you would realize that you were hurting it. You would think this poor aunt of mine, who no longer is on this planet.
You'd think.
I forgive her.
I think we did a show on You'd Think. But this is a night for us to probe deeply into the whole phenomenon of You Have No Idea. What that brings up for me is this private space that is within our own mind, our own consciousness, our own sensibility to life. And it really does feel like there's us at the center of this stage, and the backdrop is everything else. And if you step back from it, we have no idea about that phenomenon and what it's about and how it got to be that way. I mean, if you step back and look at self-awareness that each of us possesses, and that we feel somewhat confined to the sense of self, and we take it for granted, of course, but I don't think we have any idea of the dimensionality of that experience and how it fits into something that doing it likewise and doing a bunch of other things.
Well, there's also the realization that a lot of people don't care. You drink water and you just drink it. But do you think, well, what is in this water? What makes it water? Why is it water and not mud or something which has water in it, of course, but it's different. And if you don't ask the question, like, why is this different, then you really don't have any idea and you don't care.
Okay, I can accept that the person that doesn't care has no idea and doesn't really want the idea.
That's right.
So you're probably not listening, because I can't imagine you'd be listening to our program and not have some curiosity. And in fact, that's what this program is really about, is taking you on a curiosity train into areas of ideas and possibilities and conjectures and images that we may not have thought of before. I mean, that's my hope every time I come on the show, is to have a surprise. And speaking of surprise, we've got a surprise. We've got Hector Gonzalez from Mexico here tonight. Oh, my goodness. Hector, hello. See, I'm Hector from Gonzalez. I am from the south of the border, and I came up here to warn everybody that it's better to drink the water now, but I can't promise that you can have the good water. But I come up here to water, but then I find out that you're having a drought. But I hope that you will think of me next time you have a good idea, because I could use a lot of good ideas, even though I'm from the south of the border. We don't always get the best ideas that we could have if we were north of the border, which is why we come north, to get the better ideas. And, of course, the better pay. Well, thank you, Hector. I had no idea until you said those things that was like going on somewhere there else. But there he has it.
The thing is that ideas are universal. There is no place where you may not have any ideas. There's no place where you have only ideas. An idea is such an interesting phenomenon that in our head, we can have words go by that form an idea. And we don't even have to express it in any given moment, but we're thinking about it. We think about ideas. Ideas are thoughts. And I find that phenomenal somehow. Like I'm doing something that has nothing to do sometimes with what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about something that is totally detached from what my action is. And I find that amazing. And then there's times when my thoughts are totally in sync with what I'm doing. And I find that amazing. I think the ideas are amazing. And when we say we don't have any idea, it's because we haven't experienced it.
And really, because when it comes right down to it, nobody knows what you do. I mean, really.
Nobody knows what you do. You're all alone, it's just you. You're on your own, it's just you. Nobody knows what you do. Nobody knows what you're saying. Whether you're working, whether you're playing, and you can sure have your way. Nobody knows what you do. And for sure, no one will ever know. You can come and you can go. Nobody knows what you do. and see what goes down. If nobody else comes around, nobody knows what you do. To hang around, nobody there to put you down, or else to say they approve. Nobody knows what you do, and for sure no one will ever know. You can come and you can go, nobody knows what you do.
Thank you, John Hartford. Nobody knows what you do. See?
I think it's interesting. I wonder, do they not know what you do because they don't care, or do they not know what you do because there's no way of knowing what you do?
I would say yes, yes, and furthermore. Those would be my three responses.
Now I got to remember what I asked and in what order, because that sounds really weird.
Well, you asked, they don't want to know because they don't care, or they're not interested, and there was a 14th choice.
I can't remember what it is.
Well, I'm going to ask you who are with us tonight. There you are, seated, listening to us, translating these words made up out of this alphabet, which only has been in existence a tiny bit of time, generating these thoughts. Now, here's an interesting question for me. Are all thoughts ideas? All thoughts ideas, or all ideas thoughts? Does it work both ways? Is it bio-socio-wordle that way?
I was going to look up idea, what an idea was. I didn't get around to it because you have no idea how many hours I was doing other things.
Okay, so there you were moved to say it. Let's stop, because that was a genuine, spontaneous expression of I have no idea. So what did you feel as an actress? You have the capacity to observe yourself and go back. And what you feel was your motivation, or how did you arrive at that being the words that wanted most to come out of your mouth?
Well, it's the topic for the program.
Uh-huh. That's cheap. That's very, you know, that's cheap. That's not even, come on.
I couldn't help it.
We can do better.
Well, there's the thing. I had an experience. An experience. Now, that's not even a thought, but it's, well, maybe it's preceded by a thought, or after the action comes the thought. It doesn't matter. The thing is that I don't think anybody has any idea. About what brings that about, what brings about that thought, what brings about that action. Our son, the new father, was talking about how he was talking to a friend who is not a father, and he was talking about his sleep deprivation and how it's very difficult and all that. And this guy says, yeah, I know what it's like not to get sleep. And my son looked at him and he realized that he really has no idea what I'm talking about. You know, he thinks he has an idea, but he is not awakened every night, you know, twice. Can't fall back to sleep and has to go to the work the next day. He may have a few nights where he gets songered and, you know, and doesn't sleep and then wakes up after 2 hours of sleep.
Right.
But that's different than having it happen every single night. And he realized in talking with that man that he had no idea. And he could never have an idea about it until he had the experience. Otherwise, the strange thing is, it would just be an idea.
Well, when does an idea... See, I think there's thought. And thought is... I'm not sure it's necessarily an idea. I think an idea is a thought you have about something. Whereas you can have a thought, just like the notion of, as you see it, that there is a car passing before you. But then an idea, to me, would be coming to some point of view about that. Oh, he's going too fast. he might have an accident. To me, then it becomes an idea. So it's like an extension in time from something that just fundamentally is on its way to becoming. I mean, what is the actual final alphabetical letter at the end of idea? It's ideal. I think idea is a forerunner of ideals.
How did you get there with the alphabet?
I-D-E-A-L.
But you said the last word of the alphabet?
I didn't mean that to say, but you know, I have no idea what I went through just to get that out. And I'm supposed to remember the last word of the alphabet is not what I meant to say?
This has never been L, as far as I can tell, but at least not our alphabet. And
well, you know, you've heard of how California, that there's going to be this deluge and Colorado will be the West Coast. Maybe it's something like that.
No idea what he's talking about, and neither do I.
So that raises another question. Do you want to have an idea? Under what circumstances would you want to have an idea about something that's going on for someone else?
But the way we put this, you have no idea. It has to do with a similar experience somehow. That you understand, that you know what I'm talking about because you have a similar experience or you have a similar feeling. Like, when those rodents are around, everything in me just wants to just close down and turn into a little ball and pretend I'm not there or they're not there. I mean, it's really hyper fear and it's irrational fear. It's not rational because of these little critters.
That's just one particular instance, though. But to me, I want to take it to the question of what makes it an idea. See, an idea is something that starts moving through time and space and starts making interconnections, because ideas give birth to new phenomena. Just look around your room, wherever you are, or in your automobile, or by the beach, or underneath the ocean, or on top of Mount Shasta, again, wherever you may be, just look at your circumstances, especially if you've got manufactured goods. They all came out of an idea. Which leads me to the point, and the notion has certainly been put forward by others, that we are an idea happening in the mind of totality. God, some would say.
I like being an idea.
And so we are an idea, but can we, as ideas, have ideas that are not conditioned by us being an idea, new, fresh ideas? And I think that's what free will is, that we can always have a new idea.
Are you answering yourself?
I have no idea. Let me think. Was I answering myself?
Well, you posited a question. I was getting ready to jump in there, and you answered it. So are you satisfied with your answer?
I don't know. I'd love to hear yours. Always open to more than one answer.
I can't remember the question.
Oh, okay. Well, we're talking about ideas, and we're talking about how thoughts become ideas, and ideas seem to me start moving into the domain of meaning, where there's association of images captured by words, language. So every time you say a word, it has like that image with you: grass, turkeys, skyscrapers. You say that, and it just comes with it. And so we start building these idea structure out of these sequence of words, very much like the chromosomes, the way they define the idea that is to become you as this physical phenomenon that goes with it. I'm getting a little technical here.
Very.
Okay, and that's no place for me to get, so I'm going to bring in Professor Neuhauser. Professor Neuhauser? Yeah. Yeah, having this technical problem, they are trying to understand the basis of some atomic particles and how we have no idea, really, what some atomic particles actually are, because they are much too small for us to see. But in the latest physics, understanding the process of a particle moving into a wave-like stature and quantifying itself over there on the other side of the street when you were not looking, even watching where you were going, and this was like a terrible shock to your system because you weren't paying attention. And so don't get caught up on ideas. Pay attention and all the electrons will line up with you and you will become a electronified being.
Oh, that's very good. You know, I missed your last name, Professor. What was it?
Good question.
You have no idea. Your own name. I know, because you're a man who lives in ideas, and that's what happens to people who live in ideas. They forget little things like their names, their eyeglasses, their keys. I mean, they can't find things ever because their head is running the show. Now, the ideas are in our heads until they move through our bodies and become outside of us. Like the idea of an airplane started in someone's head, moved through their body. They started to put together, and then there was an airplane, which now is over in front of them or behind them, but it's apart from them. But the idea is not apart from us. The idea is inside us. To me, that's phenomenal. Whether it's a thought that leads to an idea or an idea to a thought, or they're one and the same and just quantifiably different, maybe. But the thing to me is that we can actualize ideas. That to me is marvelous. We can think of something and then turn it into something tangible, because the thought itself is not tangible.
So here's this marriage between this phenomenon that's like this dirt that's mass. Let's just call it mass. And then there's this thought system, and the thought system engages this mass and comes up with all sorts of concoctions. But it's very easy to get caught up in ideas, and it's important to stay in contact with the real world. That's something that I think we'd do well to remember.
Oh, oh, what do you know? Cars crash, bees attack, a knife into the spleen. Accidental overdose, we get all kinds of disease. Walking, talking about life, fall down and hit your head. Stupid mistakes end up full time in bed. It's a weird world that we live in. No use in trying to hide. Oh, whoa, what do you know? What do you know about now? No use in trying to hide. Are you gonna take a bow? It ain't over till it's over. And it's over when I'm gone. Oh, oh. What do you know? What do you know about now?
What do you know? That was David Choi. What do you think of that song? What's your idea? What do you think the guy was singing about, Rochelle?
I have no idea.
Huh. Okay. Moving right along. This is the Laughing Heart. No. Radio show. I keep wanting to say Laughing Heart because that's our company, and you can go to our website, The Laughing Heart, and The Laughing Heart, I believe, is at the core of what drives Rochelle and I, because I think I can speak for both of us, and here I think we both do have an idea that The Laughing Heart is just the best place to be.
It's the best heart to have, I'll tell you that much.
It is. Laughter.
It really is. Somebody I was working with today said that, too. He said, you know, whatever you do to get somebody to laugh is worthwhile.
It really is. But then there are certain kinds of laughs that are on a continuum of a bell curve of laughs. They're just fabulous laughs. And then at the other end of the curve, there are laughs that can be really grating on your nerves.
But that's one man's opinion.
Of course.
It's only what you think. Because sometimes to even grate a laugh, to see where is it coming from, you know, this laugh. To me, that's the most important thing. Some people laugh when they're self-conscious. They laugh to hide it. Some people laugh when they're nervous to hide it. Some people use laughter as a screen to to hide what's really going on with them. I haven't heard our granddaughter laugh yet. Not laugh, like sound. She smiles, and she does these sounds that aren't laughter, but they go along with the smile.
I want to just take a second and talk directly to you cacklers out there. I don't want you to think that I am disparaging to cacklers. I've known many cacklers, and I've loved them all. And when they were cackling, they provided me an opportunity to confront my judgments about people who cackle. And I did. And I saw that I could hold on to those judgments, or an even better idea, I could let them go.
And cackle.
And cackle right along with them. It's not a good cackle.
No, it isn't.
No, no.
Because it doesn't come from who you are.
No.
What makes somebody laugh? I mean, that's a whole other story, too. I remember that we were just the father of my grandchild, our youngest son, our son, who was a man. When he was a little boy, I would just hold my fingers at him as if I were going to tickle him. I didn't touch him, and he'd start to laugh. And his whole body would be part of that laughter. It wouldn't just come out of his mouth. His whole body would go into laughter. I used to laugh along with it. It was so enjoyable. But what makes us laugh? I mean, we laugh at so many different things, and so many people laugh at other things that I don't find funny, and I laugh at things that other people don't find funny. And
I think laughter starts with an expectation and a conflict. Laughter is a reaction to when expectation is thwarted, but it doesn't hurt too much.
It's an interesting concept, but I don't know if I agree or disagree with it. I really don't know. The truth is, I have no idea.
You have no idea.
No, I don't. But I know one thing. When people laugh, I find it very enjoyable. When I laugh, I find it very enjoyable. And when they don't laugh, and I want them to laugh like I'm doing a show and it's supposed to be funny, I don't find it funny at all.
So speaking of that, tell us about your moment up in Washington State, Rochelle. It's a great story there.
Oh, golly. I was hired to do a presentation for 900 teachers in Bellingham, Washington. And all through my discussions with the man who hired me, he kept saying, just be funny, just be funny. And you know, like, there's something psychologically scary about someone telling you to be funny, which makes me feel impossible to be funny. Like the last thing on earth I could possibly be is funny, because everyone wants me to be funny and I have no idea how to be funny at all. And I got up on this stage in front of 900 people and I bombed.
You were not funny.
I became wholly philosophical and so serious at some points, you know, that I thought it was funny that I wasn't funny. But I couldn't share that with a lot of people.
So in terms of this event, you could say,
you have no idea. It was just horrific.
Well, that reminds me of the time when I had the opportunity to go on stage as a comedian. I've been on stage a lot, but I never thought of myself as a comedian and like a stand-up comic.
Nobody else does either, darling.
And they're saying, fortunate for all of us that you don't. Well, I had this one opportunity where I was just going to come out on stage and be funny.
Oh, God, it's hard to do.
And I was backstage, and I didn't have any idea what I was going to do. I was going to go out there and do something, but I didn't know. But I did know I was scared shitless.
Yep.
Because I didn't have any idea what I was going to do, and I was going to be going out there soon. And so I walked out there, and since being scared was what's up for me, I just really got into it. And it was very funny. People laughed.
I know, they laughed at your misery.
Right. Whatever, as long as they're laughing. But
well, yeah, you became one with it. Congruent, and your natural inclination to perform came out. So you embodied it and you became it, I'll bet.
Is most likely.
Yeah, and yes. That is funny because we don't do that. We want to hide when we're frightened. We don't want to be seen. But when you be seen in such a wonderful way, it allows you to be okay to be scared.
Now, here's an idea for you that I could say to them, you have no idea. But the whole idea of becoming more expressive in your body, is an idea whose time isn't just come. It's been coming all along from the time we were just getting started. And in our Western culture, we're very head-oriented.
Not just our Western culture.
I'm talking about the west side of this particular solar system. That would include Earth, Mars, Saturn, when she's coming around.
I mean, there's a lot of people on this planet, in the world, a lot of people that are not just in the West, who don't express fully through their bodies. They express themselves with words. In fact, there are many cultures, you know, the impassivity, keeping feelings totally to yourself in private, is part of the culture. You don't share feelings, you don't cry, you don't do a lot of things.
In short, you're not vulnerable. Understandably so, you could get hurt.
Is that the root of that, or is it like an observational device that it's better to observe and take it all in instead of expressing all your feelings about it?
You know,
I think it's cultural.
It is culture, but what it does for me is it just, here we go.
Comme une pierre que l'on jette dont l'eau vive d'un ruisseau et qui laisse derrière elle des milliers de ronds dans l'eau comme un manège de loup avec ses chevaux d'étoiles comme un anneau de Saturne un ballon de carnaval comme le chemin de rond font sans cesse les heures le voyage autour du monde d'un tournesol dans sa fleur tu fais tourner de ton nom tous les moulins de mon
That was Les Moulins de Mon Cœur, The Windmills of Your Mind with Tina Arena. Wasn't she wonderful? Those lyrics to me are so rich.
Tina Maria.
So there's this mind churning up. As I was listening to the music, I thought about music and I asked myself, is music an idea? I don't think it's an idea. You can have an idea about a piece of music or to write an idea or a concept for the music, but I don't think the music itself exists in the realm of ideas at all.
What if that's not true?
Well, I'd have no idea about that.
Music is a language, and we seem to think that ideas expose themselves as language. There's words that are going on in your head that forms an idea, right? But if you're really musically inclined, you hear notes in your head. And if it's a language, is that not an idea? Do you have ideas about what to put down on this paper, what to play on this piano? I mean, those are ideas. They're just not ideas in words. They're ideas in notes.
You have no idea.
The only thing I have an idea about is that I remember reading this thing about how he heard the music in his head, about a musician that...
Idea or not idea? I don't think it really matters. I think we love the music and the lyrics, which to me contain ideas, and if they're put together as well as some of these fabulous musicians that we've been having on our program each week, I think it's a good thing because it elevates my spirit, and I think that music art facilitates the movement toward ideal. Art has the capacity to create an illusion that is an ideal. From the Arantxa book, it says the high mission of any art is by its illusion to foster a higher universe reality, to crystallize the emotions of time into the thought of eternity.
The thought of eternity. That's kind of interesting that they speak of eternity as the thought.
Right, the thought of eternity. And there's another interesting perspective that they bring in, that in the time-space mortal life we live, thinking leads to wisdom, leads to worship. And I want to define worship here. It's the sense of the joy of being at one with all, and all is good, and you are one with all of that.
That's your idea of worship.
Yeah, at least for now. So you have thinking leads to wisdom, the ability to discern and make choices that move you toward what? That joyous place of recognizing your oneness with all, and the bliss therein resides. But in eternity, after we leave the time-space reference frame in which we normally inhabit, it goes in reverse. Worship leads to wisdom, leads to the finality of thought.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a twister, isn't it?
It's something that if you can't wrap your mind around it right away, you have no idea.
Exactly. It's one of those things I've pondered for years, and I don't have any more idea about it now than I did then, but I've loved the pondering.
Well, you see, you are an explorer of ideas. It's like the explorer is always moving beyond the known and wants to find things that don't quite know if it's real or not. He wants to find out, or she wants to find out. So what happens is when you're an explorer of ideas, that idea will lead me to the next idea. Where am I going? I'm going into this infinite idea, infinite thought. And if that's where you're going, to infinite thought, then all your ideas, if you allow them, will take you there.
Oh, hello, good evening. It's Professor Umbridge here tonight. I couldn't help but jump into the conversation because you, of course, used my product, which is Ponders. Just would like to remind your listeners that I do sell Ponders, and you use the Ponders for pondering. I have a discount right now. I will give you each, you know, three Ponders for the price of four. What do you say about that? Just kidding, giving you something to ponder about. All right.
Professor Umbridge, you are a little bit something else.
Well, I like to keep my fingers in the goo of matter and reality and normal thought. I love this fellow's song that he sang that was about, what are you doing in the now? What do you know about the now? And that brings us back to that very question that we're always attempting to ascertain. What do we know about the now? Well, I think you have to leave the knowing out of the now. I think that's what that means when it says that worship, which is you're integrated completely in the now and all its aspects, and then you start gaining a new level of wisdom about that, because that's your starting place rather than the thinking place from matter. Now you're already in spirit, so your starting place is different. You're already at one with all, but now you're becoming conscious of it. Just as a baby is one with it all, and now it starts becoming conscious of it. And then we repeat the cycle, I suspect, ad infinitum until we get to that finality of thought place. I say.
I have no idea. I'll check it out eventually. I mean, there's something about having an experience of even the most esoteric ideas, having an experience of it that takes you beyond that sense of it's an idea into the realm of your personal reality. And when that syncs up with the idea and your personal reality, it becomes who you are.
So it adds some kind of substance to your very beingness.
Yes, and certainly substance to your idea.
Well, you become more substantive.
Right.
Oh, this is Father O'Reilly here. I'm always for people becoming more substantive. And to meet so many people who just live at the outskirts of their beings, right on the surface, and they miss the opportunity in this lifetime to become more substantive. And, of course, being more substantive gives you much more opportunities to interact with various aspects of reality in very creative and clever ways. And it just increases the fun. And I'm all about fun. This is Father O'Malley. We're having fun.
Yes, we are. We're having fun. I think O'Reilly. You did say O'Reilly, not O'Malley.
See, I get my names mixed up. And I've always gotten my name mixed up because from the time I was old enough, people would say Errol, and they'd say Earl, Oil, Harold. I'd say no, like Errol Flynn. So I've had this association with Errol Flynn all my life. It's made my name choosing very confusing. I changed my name. I actually changed it from Greenberg to Strider.
But you didn't change Errol.
No, I like the Errol because that.
And the funny thing is, that's the one you had to explain all the time.
Well,
you could have been Bob.
Right. Could have been Bob.
Well, it's interesting that here at Lupu, we just have somebody who just moved in whose name is Earl, E-A-R-L. And people were talking the other day. We have no idea. They kept calling you Earl and him Errol. And then they kept getting so confused. And I said, okay, he's Errol. He's Earl. Now that there are two of you, it's going to be very difficult for people to get it straight.
It was hard enough to get them straight. I had to tell this one guy I worked with, I must have had to correct him at least a couple hundred times. Still yes. Have to correct him.
But now there is somebody by the name that he was using. He'll see that it's not you.
Right, but I'll be able to say to him, him, that's Earl. Aim your word at him. Don't aim it this way. You know, sometimes it's good, though, and I appreciate it about living here, just to sit down and get still and relax and just let it go. And that's what we're going to do now for a couple
There's
minutes.
There's a house by a stream where the sun sits on the water. You can learn to stop thinking without falling asleep, falling asleep. Right here. Gonna
Thank you, Lucinda Drayton. She has a number of wonderful songs. The song was Sit Right Here, and we hope you are sitting right here with us. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. And we're looking at the things we have no ideas about and the ideas we have about the things we have no idea about.
I had this experience the other day where my mind just got so still. It just stopped. All thought was gone until my mind thought that my mind had stopped.
Whoops.
And it's really interesting that you have this sense of idea, which is bigger than you are, you know, in the sense that you're overseeing something and you're aware that you can't put your mind around it. It's something that you just can't put your mind around.
What it brings up for me is to ask you all, are you on this journey? Would you like to join us? What about you? What about you? Will you participate with me in the quest beyond the known? Will you walk by my side as I ascend the mountain of trust?
Will you accompany me through a vision beyond sight? Will you bear with me as I transcend the limits of self?
Will you walk along with me and leave behind your weighty past?
Will you hear my point of view, though it clashes with your own? Will you discern those subtle roads that lead you away from the city?
And set off with me on ultimate trails that end in a cosmical clearing?
Will you let go of the easier way of dependable sights and sounds?
And abandon yourself to the sterling unseen and the bountiful mystery of light?
Will we arrive together on a crest overlooking time?
Having transcended the tasty finite and the surging appeal of matter.
Will you run along with me, keeping your eye on the goal before us?
Trusting that you will not fall down or will have placed your hopes in fiction.
Will you join and harmonize me by falling in unified step?
Will you blaze the trail of faith as we follow the infinite way?
What about you?
What about you? It's time to complete our program now. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, sponsored by Go Raw. Anything else you need to say, Rochelle?
Yes.
As a final remark?
Remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
You have no idea.
Good night.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for Humanity, Climate Restabilization Plan, and the Evolutionary Principles for a Sustainable Prosperity. Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
When we are dancing and you're dangerously near me, I get ideas, I get ideas. I want to hold you so much closer than I dare to. I want to scold you cause I care more than I care to. And when you touch me and there's fire in every finger, I get ideas, I get ideas. And after we have kissed goodnight and still you linger, I kinda think you get ideas too. Your eyes are always saying the things you're never saying. I only hope they're saying that you could love me too. For that's the whole idea, it's true. The lovely idea that I've fallen in love with you. When we are dancing and you're dangerously near me, I get ideas, I get ideas. I want to hold you so much closer than I dare to. I want to scold you cause I care more than I care to. And when you touch me and there's fire in every finger, I get ideas, I get ideas. And after we have kissed goodnight and still you linger, I kind of think you get ideas too. Your eyes are always saying the things you're never saying. I only hope they're saying that you could love me too. For that's the whole idea, it's true. The lovely idea that I've fallen in love.